The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's racing on this edition, and what a Saturday lineup we have for you on Racing Radio. Ross Briley and Lord John Budden will be in the studio from 1:55pm. It's the final day of the Ebor meeting at York, where the Ebor itself takes centre stage. The Big Heritage Handicap is the feature race on Saturday. We also have good racing at Goodwood, featuring the Group 2 Celebration Mile. There's good racing at Newmarket, Cartmel over Jumps and Red Car and Windsor in the evening. An action-packed day of racing to look forward to on Saturday. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mr. No, not Mr. Sorry, I've got it wrong. It's Lord John Budden. How are you doing, John?
I'm pretty well, Mark. As long as that monosyllabic word with three letters beginning with N, having P at the end and a vowel in the middle, is not mentioned.
Yes, tricky time of it at the moment, John.
I'm afraid so. Up against the wall, as far as naps are concerned.
Well, it could all change on Friday, John, as we record this, and then by Saturday you might be flying high once again. And you've got plenty of racing to go on Saturday. I mean, what a day. I mean, the jingle at the start wasn't long enough. I had that much racing to go through.
No, it's tremendous stuff, isn't it? And really high-class racing at the Knaves Mile. And as you say, Celebration Mile at Goodwood.
Yep.
And, you know, I've actually studied the racing at Cartmel at depth during the week. So, altogether, a really thrilling afternoon.
It should be. And before we look ahead to Saturday's racing, John, let's just quickly look back at some of Thursday's action. The feature race on Thursday was the Yorkshire Oaks, and we saw the Fugue come out on top there. She was so close to winning it last year, and she got the prize on Wednesday with a good performance.
Yeah, I thought she would win. I thought she would win because I thought she'd been fairly highly tried in the Coral Eclipse. I didn't fancy her in that race at all, and obviously she wasn't quite right. And neither were, at the time, many of the John Gosden horses, actually. But in the last sort of fortnight to 3 weeks, John Gosden has turned it around completely, and he's absolutely, you know, shelling winners everywhere, home and abroad. And I thought the Fugue had got a great chance, and then she did the job really well, and now she's back on the winning trail. You know, it's going to be hard to stop her, Mark.
Yes, I mean, she's high class in the past anyway, and probably took just a couple of races to get into her stride this year, but where would you see her going from here, John?
Well, I think there are a couple of, you know, fairly obvious alternatives. I think that John Gosden will go abroad to Longchamp to the Prix Vermeil. That would seem to me a fairly obvious race. The Fugue is in lightly raced. She's obviously in great shape now, valuable race. And the Prix Vermeil, to me, will be the obvious next race. And then, you know, there's the Breeders' Cup coming up, too, in the not-too-distant future. Isn't it awful to think about that, isn't it, Mark? Gracious me. You know, the Breeders' Cup, and how summer's just flashed by. I think, you know, John Gosden's an international trainer, and he very much looks as the Breeders' Cup as a possible venue for his best horses, while other English trainers tend to regard it as, you know, just a possible bonus, but probably to be avoided.
Yes, she has got a quote after that performance for the Breeders' Cup filly and mare turf. She's 2-1 for that, is the Fugue. John Gosden used to train out there, didn't he, over in America?
Yeah, absolutely, yes. Yeah. He is an international trend. Yes, more than for a little while. He was in America for, you know, really quite a long time. And, of course, he's absolutely bred for it. I'm old enough to remember Dad, Towser Gosden, who was, you know, a tremendous handicap trainer. You know, a touch from Towser was very much a label of the time.
Good. So we'll see what happens with the Fugue then. See what she does later on in the season. Another filly that was impressive on the Knaves Mile on Thursday was Lucky Crystal. She won the Lowther Stakes in mighty fashion coming down that rail.
Yeah, I'm absolutely delighted with that. I don't know whether many of the listeners take the Racing Post every day, but about a month ago, there was an excellent feature in the Racing Post on George Margeson, his background and his current horses and the family set up there. And, you know, George, who doesn't sort of hide his light under a bushel, in that particular feature was adamant that Lucky Crystal would win at York, and that the what we used to call the Cherry Hinton was no fluke. And I must say I was very pleased to see Lucky Crystal win, very confidently ridden, I thought, by Tom Queeley,
yeah,
and made up a tremendous amount of ground. Very interesting interview, too, between Claire Balding and Jim McGrath on the paddock beforehand, talking about sweating, because Claire pointed out that Lucky Crystal got very warm, and it was a warm day, but yeah, that, you know, was this a good sign? And Jim McGrath actually went through the history of the pedigree. He's amazing at that kind of thing, and he pointed out that Lucky's story, the sire, used to sweat, you know, really profusely, and the whole of the family have done so. So if you see Lucky Crystal sweating, it's very much the habit. In fact, if you see Lucky Crystal not sweating, you should begin to worry.
Yes.
But I thought she ran marvellously well. Whether she is quite a Guineas filly, we shall see, but I think to Cheveley Park next, and, you know, if she wins that, as she has done the last two, then people will start talking seriously about the 1,000 guineas. I just got the slight impression that she might be a little bit precocious this season, very strong, and, you know, there might be others with a little bit more class for the 1,000 guineas, but we shall see.
Yes, we shall, and she was backed as well after the race. She was 20-1 for the 1,000 guineas, and we had to trim her in again to 16-1, so somebody's quite keen on her. She'll be up there with, well, she'll probably be George Marsden's best ever filly, won't she?
Well, yes, I think he'd be best ever filly. And he's, you know, he's a very good trainer. He's been about for a long time, too, yeah. George Marsden. He was the great sort of travelling head lad, as it used to be called, for the Mick Ryan stable when John Ryan's father was also cleaning up lots of handicaps. So he's been in the business a long time. He knows everything there is about it. And I have to say, I was very impressed with Lucky Crystal's determination and attitude. And if she comes out as well as that next spring, who knows?
Yes. Anything else got your eye at York this week, John?
Yes, I was fascinated with the Jerd Monte International. Probably it has been discussed here quite a lot, but I was at Musselburgh on that afternoon. I thought it was an absolutely fascinating race. Obviously won in very good style by declaration of war, but it harked back to a day I was in the studio the two Sundays ago when the Deauville Prix de Jacques Marois, I think, yeah, the name of the horse. I thought that was a really significant race in itself for the Arc trial. Very keen I was on Intello in that race, and I personally felt that the victory of Declaration of War, who was behind Intello at Deauville, indicated that, you know, that the Arc is definitely going to the French in a couple of months' time, and I would be very keen to have a few pennies on Intello as a result of what happened at the York at the Jerd Monte.
Okay. Where do you think they stand with Al-Kazim then with regard to the Arc after that? Because obviously finished behind Declaration of War, who was behind Intello. So do you think Al-Kazim will probably struggle in the Arc?
It's interesting, isn't it, actually, Mark? Because Roger Charlton appeared to be very confident before the race. I heard him being interviewed, and he again repeated that Al-Kazim was the best horse he'd ever trained, and that Al-Kazim had done absolutely everything required in the run-up to the Jerd Monte. He's, of course, a very quiet and patient man, Roger Charlton, so he was at pains to say, you know, one cannot expect that he's going to win this race necessarily. But he is very fit for it. He's ready to score. Well, he looked as though he might be doing that about two furlongs out. And then I thought he was pretty sort of one-paced in the end. After the race, Roger Charlton was, you know, fairly quick to point out that the ground was very fast and that Al-Kazim had had two races on the fast ground. This was a third, and that was, in his view, the reason why the horse disappointed. So, if all is well, hasn't got sore shins or anything like that, and the ground comes up, as it almost always is, soft for the Arc, I don't think the race has necessarily damaged Al-Kazim's hopes of winning it. Personally, I haven't been against Al-Kazim being quite good enough to win at Longchamp for a longish while, and I just feel that the international, the Jerd Monte International, sort of indicated that that might still be the case.
Okay. Shall we move on then, John? Shall we move on to Saturday's racing? We're going to look at three races at York on the final day of the Ebor meeting. We're going to go through the Melrose Handicap, the Gymcrack Stakes, and the feature race, the Ebor itself. So we'll start in the 240, which is the Melrose Handicap, and this is over a mile and six furlongs, and well, we've got 16 of them in the lineup. It's a very competitive event, John. What's caught your eye for this one?
Yeah, interesting, isn't it, that there are really quite a lot of long distance races at the York August meeting, and this is one of them. I'm going to go out on a limb a bit here. I haven't looked at the betting, so it's possible that my first selection has been well back. Van Persie would be my choice for this race. Have you got any betting?
I've got the betting up. He's on site at the moment, so you can have a bet. I'll go through the betting then. Havana Cooler is the 9-2 favourite. Great Hall 7-1. Dark Crusader and Deb 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 are both 8s. Excuse me. Argent Knight and Van Persie are both 10-1, John. Hawk High is 12s. Elidor 14s with Ambleside and 16-1 or bigger price as the rest.
Yeah, I think the betting shows that it is a pretty good minefield, this Melrose, Mark, and a very competitive race. I've gone for two, and my first selection would be Van Persie. I've actually been rather impressed with Van Persie when he's run so far this summer. He was particularly impressive at Haydock, I remember, in a lesser handicap earlier in the season. I think Cathy Gannon was in the saddle, and she had terrible traffic problems. And all the way up the home straight, Van Persie was absolutely longing for a gap. You could see that he was on the bridle, ready to go. The gap would not come. And then at the very last moment, literally about sort of 50 yards from the line, the gap opened, Cathy was ready, and Van Persie went through it like a knife through butter and won by short head or something of that nature. And I thought, this is a good horse. And then there was a long break, and Van Persie then reappeared last time in a competitive handicap at Goodwood. It was won by a horse called Pethers Moon, and Salutation was the runner-up. Now, Salutation is very much a benchmark to me. The Mark Johnston horse had run well before, and ran well there, and has run well since. Now, not all that far behind, considering it was the first time that Van Persie had been out for a while. I thought he ran extremely well to be just close up behind the leading three. Held his head a bit high and was very keen early on, but that wasn't surprising, bearing in mind he was racing for the first time for a while. The other point I like about Van Persie is the rider. I call him Washin Murphy, or Ossin Murphy. How do you call him?
I think it's Austin Murphy, but I'm not sure.
But, I mean, he is very much a talent coming. Thomas Brown, obviously the leading apprentice with the Balding Yard, but this young man, Murphy, is clearly a rider of real talent, and he's taking the £7 off, and I think he could have a very good Saturday. The other one I like in the race is David Ellsworth's horse, Dashing Star. Now, that must be quite a long price. But I was impressed with this horse when it won the Edinburgh Cup at Musselburgh in the middle of the summer on Derby Day, a day that David Ellsworth had actually three winners at Musselburgh. And he said that this horse was good enough to run at Royal Ascot. Well, he didn't do much there, but actually he ran pretty well in a handicap at Newmarket last time out, finishing a close six, I think it was behind Feel Like Dancing. Yep. And, on the strength of that, he was plugging on strongly at the end. He might go quite well here. So my outsider would be Dashing Star, but my choice is Van Persie.
Okay, Dashing Star is 20-1. And that race last time, John, that was a Group 3 that, at Newmarket.
Yes, he's a cunning old sage, David Ellsworth, you know. He's got even as grey as hair as I have, and he was actually very confident about the ability of this horse after it had won that biggish race at Musselburgh, and he's been lightly raced since then, and at 20-1 he could be really quite a decent little each-way snip.
OK. To the 3:15 at York we go next, and this is the Gymcrack Stakes, which is a Group 2 contest over the 6-furlong trip. Shall we start here with Cable Bay, John, for Charles Hills? Richard Kingscote in the saddle, unexposed, still lightly raced. Broke the maiden tag at Leicester on his penultimate start, and then second in the Richmond Stakes Only a neck behind Sayer at Glorious Goodwood last time, so that's pretty good form in respect to this, isn't it?
It is very good form, and Cable Bay could be certainly there or thereabouts. But now this, I think, Mark, is a crucial factor, the ground. We know, don't we, that there was 13 millimetres of rain Thursday to Friday at the Knavesmire, and as we speak on Friday afternoon, the going is officially good to soft. Now, it was much quicker at Goodwood, and I think we've got to take that into account, particularly with the winner there. William Haggis is on record as saying that Sayer actually prefers a sound surface, and I think the rain's gone against his chances, improved that of Cable Bay. There are, however, two others in this contest that I like. My Catch has to be mentioned a bit, I think. Any money for My Catch? David Barron's horse?
We haven't got the betting for this race yet.
No, you haven't. Well, don't worry. It'll come on. My Catch won last time out in Deauville. And it's quite interesting that David Barron has, got the horse here in the Gimcrack. Incidentally, talking about the Gimcrack, the York Race Committee deserved tremendous applause for the prize money in this race. I think it's 200 grand. And it's really, an excellent effort in getting such a prize for the Gimcrack. He could conceivably be just a little bit irked at the fact that there's not a bigger field. But it is a class field, and it's a really excellent prize, so well done to York. The horse I like in this race, and I think it will be suited by the change of ground, is Parblonde. Parbold, rather.
Yeah.
I do think this horse has got an engine, and many people will write Parbold off after the last two outings. First of all, Parbold ran second in the Coventry. Oh, the Coventry. What a dreadful form race, says everyone.
Yeah.
War Command, who won by whatever it was, going away by 6, 7, 8 lengths, disappointed next time out in Ireland. All those subsequent horses have run poorly, including Parbold. Forget it, say the form experts. I'm not that convinced you should forget the Coventry. It's always a decent race, and the form generally works out well in time. I thought Parbold would win at Goodwood, but then I realised after about a couple of furlongs that Sir Richard Farhill's colt was not happy. A, basically on the ground. B, with the undulations. Paul Hannigan came in for a lot of stick because he didn't put Parbold into the race seemingly at all, despite the fact the horse had been very well backed. But we must remember that Tormore won it by a narrow margin. Mm. Now, both Tormore and Parbold were right at the back of the field, and Richard Hughes brought Tormore up from the rear to get into contention about a furlong out. Paul Hannigan tried his hardest to do the same with Parbold, but Parbold didn't pick up until the last furlong. I thought ran on quite well to finish third, and this is a horse I'm convinced will be better at York, will like the change of ground. Richard Farhill's youngsters in tremendous form. So I'm not going to desert Parbold. I think he's got a good chance of winning the Gimcrack.
Yes, I can see where you're coming from, John. On a flatter track with a big galloping straight, I can see what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. And Tony Hamilton rides, of course, today because Paul, has got his sort of retained connections for Hamdan. Tony Hamilton is no back number. He's a very, very decent jockey. And he will, of course, have partnered Parbold N times on the gallops at Muslea Bank. So he'll know the horse really well.
Yep. Okay then, John, the feature race on Saturday is the 350 at York. This is the Ebor, the big heritage handicap. It's over 1.75 miles, and we have betting for this on site as well. Opinion is the 9-2 favourite, and that's been backed from 5-1. Sheikh Zayed Road is 7-1 with Tiger Cliff, 8-1 for Ted Veal. Caravan Rolls On is 9s, 12s for Bishop Rocco, 15-1 for Genzi. Sun Central is 16s, as is Oriental Fox and Tropical Beat and No Heretic. Montessor is 20-1, and then 25-1 or bigger the remainder. Really good renewal of the Ebor this year, John.
Yeah, absolute graveyard for me over the years, Ebor, and I probably will be again this time. However, we must be positive, Mark. Yeah, it's a tremendous race, actually, and it's going to be a thrilling contest, whatever the result. I was very keen on Well Sharp, and I was very disappointed that Well Sharp was taken out at the overnight declarations, presumably because at the time, Connections thought the ground was going to be pretty quick, but there may have been other reasons. So that was a disappointment. My second selection was Sun Central, but I can't have Sun Central now because he's got weight. And, you know, he's got, in my view, too much weight. Mm-hmm. And he is a decent horse. I thought William Haggas had a very good chance of picking up this year's Ebor. But he's had one or two withdrawals already. Relies now basically on Sun Central. Won well at York last time out. Let's not forget the John Smith Silver Cup. He absolutely waltzed away with that. And on the strength of that form, he's got a very fair chance. Number Theory was back in third. And really good, you know, brave horse, Number Theory. He won't let anyone down, incidentally. I don't know what price he was because I rather forgot your quotes. But Number Theory finished third, likes York, and he's a smallish trainer. Well, not in height, but in number of horses in the yard. John Holt, you know, he always gets a good run out of Number Theory.
33-1 for Number Theory.
Yeah, say 33-1. You know, just the sort of horse who get into the frame, Mark, Number Theory. I think Sun Central has got too much weight for our victory, but we could be wrong. Favourites don't have a great rate, a strike rate in the Ebor. I think on the whole, I haven't got the statistics absolutely at my fingertips, but my general sort of thought over the years is that really well-touted horses don't necessarily run up to form in the Ebor. But opinion has to have a very decent chance, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he won the Duke of Edinburgh in excellent style at the Royal Meeting, and I thought was grossly unlucky in the Old Newton Cup at Haydock. I say grossly unlucky. The horse was. I'm not quite certain whether the jockey...